what I want to share with you this morning is to do with Paul's prayer, really about God's divine power. God's divine power, which is so needed in our lives, so needed in his church, and the power of God needed in so many places. And it's a power, it tells us here from verses 19 to 23. Let me read those to you. That you might know the riches of glorious inheritance of the saints, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. The power, that power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given now, in the present age, and in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Just to unpack that could take us forever, really. The fullness of him who fills everything in every way. This is bigger than my concerns and my worries or about us having a new pastor or anything else, really, or our impending trips to wherever we're going. Something quite incredible, isn't it? To think that this is the God who's called us. He's incredible. And Paul's prayer is that, verse 19, that we may know and experience this unlimited and immeasurable power within us and working amongst us. Within us and working amongst us. That's what that verse means. And it's a power so incredible that God spoke, "Let there be light." And light appeared. How fast does light travel? Is it 186,000 miles a second? Was that? I don't know. Oh, it's meters. Sorry. Better. 300 meters. 300
meters.
Quite fast then. Quite quick. So God spoke it, and that literally comes out of God's mouth. Christ is the one who holds all this together. Theologians talk about God the Father thinking it, God the Son speaking it forth, the Word of God, and God the Holy Spirit causing it to happen, if you like. Incredible. This is the power of our God. It's a power beyond all measure that we actually carry God the Holy Spirit. He lives in us. And in multiple other places. But that's just mind-boggling, really. And it's this power that Jesus, lots of it that he left behind when he came to planet Earth. So he was fully God and fully man. But this is a story for another day. But it's the power of God that raised Jesus from death. And that's mind-boggling. Yeah, I had the blessing to be able to sit with some folk that have gone from this world to glory. And when you see the body devoid of that, it's just an empty shell. God raised his son from that human state to something very different. I can't sit down, it's no good, I'll have to stand up. Sorry, Lynn, It's beyond me. I don't think I'll have to die standing up. I think it might be easier. It's that immense power that raised Christ from the dead and has lifted him not just to nothing. He's been raised to the right hand of the Father on high, back to where he came from, to his position in the Godhead, far above rule and principalities and powers. He is indeed the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's above all religious leaders. I would be politically so incorrect today. The religious things in this world are nothing compared to the glorious reality of our Saviour who rose from the dead. If you want to see a dead religion or a dead Saviour or person that's held it as something divine, you can go to Mecca for that. And there's a lovely shrine there. But you can't go to a shrine like that. It's an empty shrine for Jesus. And I make no apologies, and if you never have me back again, I believe the truth is that is the truth. And I cannot compromise on that, because that's important. We don't need to, do we? Because it's Jesus who we are following, who's been raised from the dead, who's seated above all other movers and shakers in the world, all other religious past, present, and anyone that might come in the future. He's above and beyond every name, past and present, for he is eternally God. Second person of the Trinity, the Lord Almighty, cosmic, supreme. And he, by the Spirit of God, will lead us safe home. That's what this scripture is telling me. He will achieve in us what he set out to achieve. We're safe and secure in Jesus. Amen. Amen. And there are times when we start to think about our mortality. Shall I tell you what? I need to have my mind expanded, really, to understand it. This is just the beginning. This is just a starting point. Decisions we make here are very important. But the decisions to follow Jesus and to walk with him every day of our life. But who's helping us do that? The Spirit of revelation and of wisdom. God, the Holy Spirit, the third part of the Trinity, will bring us safely home. Which I like to say how wonderful that is. He is Lord Almighty, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Supreme, who will bring us safe home. Now, are we going to bring you back to earth now with a bump? And finally, you ought to be worried, because I put my watch down there as the clock up there doesn't work. And I've nearly finished, Gareth, so we might be all right. You might get to the football yet. Do you walk out if they go on for too long?
Masters?
Yeah. We just don't play them. I'll get them rather quickly then. Why do I tangle it with him, Lynn? I just don't know, really. I try, I have conversations with him, and I think I can't ever win. So I give up trying, I think, now. Let's bring us back to planet Earth, as Gareth's just done to me with a rude bump. Verses 3 and 4, just to further enhance this. I know we weren't meant to read that this week, so we won't. But it says that, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. That's what I've been trying to say very poorly today. He chose us in him before the creation of the world to be blameless in his sight. Before there was an atom in place, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, one God, chose us to be in eternity. You say, that's an awful... Oh, I chose God, didn't I? Well, I'm not getting into the debate of that, but all we know, that if God is love, he would have used love as the dimension as he chose us. What that choice is based on is outside of my pay realm. But what I know is that I was chosen before anything else existed, and so were you, as God's child. Because God actually wants to share eternity with us. And he wants to share his life with us now. They help us manoeuvre through the choppy waters of this world. Because he promises that I'm always with you. I won't leave you. I won't leave you when you're in hospital, when you've had a heart attack, when you're going to have something else. I won't leave you if you're going to move or you've got a problem. I'm always with you. Whatever the scenario is of life. And even if you have turned in your back on him, he never turns his back on us. Because his very nature is to be faithful. And even though we're faithless, the scripture says he will remain faithful. Because that's who he is. He's God. So just to say that we're chosen, loved by God. And it's in Christ, he makes us holy, set apart to live for Jesus. All right, the word holy, I'm not very holy, but God's Spirit is a seal guaranteeing. The clue is in the name. God the Holy Spirit seals us, guarantees our future. Set apart to live for Jesus. That's what we're called to do. And verse 22, I want to say, this isn't your church. This isn't your church. It belongs to Jesus. He is number one. It's his idea. It's his, represents his body here on earth. He is the governor, to use a phrase that used to be used of Ron Bliss in the Boys Brigade. He was the governor. And last time I saw that gentleman was here, actually, in this church. And people called him governor. that's who he is. Jesus is number one. Sorry. Oh, dear me. I'm up at 90% of the salary at the minute, Gareth. He set us apart in his family. Not just as a little religious gathering, but for purposes that he chose for us before time began. In chapter 2, verse 10, I was hoping I was going to be able to preach on that next week, but I can't. He's got good works for you and I to do. He's got things specially with Downs Baptist Church written on. He's got things with just your name written on that have been chosen for you. Works of faith to bring glory to him, to help advance the kingdom of Christ here on the planet. And it's so important that we respond to that, that we, as his people, say, Lord, by myself I can't, but with your power, with your love, with your enabling, with your wisdom, help me display more of your life wherever I go. More of your love, more of your grace, more of your power. He's placed us in a glorious thing. If this is the body of Christ that we belong to. It says in the message of the last verse of this, it says, this is Christ's body, in which he speaks and acts, and by which he fills everything in every way with his presence. Wherever we go, to bring it back to planet Earth, we are there with Jesus by our side. And we've got the Holy Spirit within us. I found myself, when I had my heart attack, in a little booth. We'd been there for hours in A&E, Lynn, hadn't we? And we were squashed up in this little booth, about no wider than this, Lynn and I here, and this lady, older lady, with a younger woman here. And this younger woman was telling us she's an alcoholic. Or a recovering alcoholic. And I'm thinking, oh no, I don't feel like this. I don't feel up to this at all. But what we said to her, Remind me of the name, Lynn. Tiffany. Tiffany, we're going to be praying for you. And it just cut the atmosphere. It was just incredible. I couldn't say much else. I say, here we are. I'll do a Bible study with her. But I could say, we'll pray for you. And we did. And I escaped from the ward after I'd had a little procedure done in the hospital. So watch out, Steve. Don't think you might get away with it free in hospital, because sometimes the Lord has little things for us to do all over the place, and be careful while you're there. I bumped into this lady, and she said, I've just broken up with my boyfriend, she said. You know why, she said? Because he bought me a bottle of wine for my birthday. So she wanted to move forward, and we prayed that she'd lose the desire to want to keep drinking him and pumping needles in her arm, which she had both of those two. So you never know, but we're there. God's placed us here in season, out of season, when we feel like it and when we don't, to be reflecting something of him. And the Lord says, I'm with you always, now and into eternity. Now that's a Jesus who's worth following, don't you think? So do I. Let's pray. Lord, I know we've just tickled around at the edges of that scripture, and we could say so much more, but we thank you that you are always with us, that you are bigger than our problems, bigger than our needs. You are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You have left the glory of heaven. You know what it's like to live on planet Earth, to feel alone, to be tempted, to feel vulnerable. You lived and you died to buy me back and to buy us back. And we thank you, Lord, for your immense grace and goodness to us. Lord, help us never to lose sight of that. And we say, Holy Spirit of God, this week, will you just flood our hearts and our minds, our very souls, with fresh revelation of who Jesus is and what he's done for us. Amen.